Would the House please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Would the clerk please tally the board?
29 present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Our chaplain today is Pastor Richard Green from Glacier Valley Church of God. Would the members please rise?
Let us pray. Father, I praise you for your mindfulness of us. We understand what Jeremiah the prophet meant when he penned the words, "It is only your mercies that have kept us from being consumed, because your compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We thank you for faithfully giving to us the compassion and mercies we need to respond to the challenges and opportunities of this beautiful new day. We seek and by faith receive your wise counsel, unfailing strength, and the unlimited resources of your grace. All glory and honor be unto you both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Green. Representative Williams, will you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 50th legislative day with the following correction. On page 597 under House Bill 237, it should read House Bill number 237 by Representative Mulder by request and Porter. I also certify the journal for the 51st legislative day, House Supplement number 4.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House Journal is certified by the Chief Clerk to be approved.
Without objection.
Madam Speaker, may the Journal reflect that all members are present today. There are no members excused from a call of the House today.
Thank you very much. Do we have guests today for introduction? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Pradovich Gallery, we have a constituent of our speakers, a city councilman from the city of Homer, Mr. Jack Cushing. Cushing, if you please stand, members and help me welcome him.
Representative Sanders.
Sorry. I thought you were moving on. I thought you didn't have any guests. Madam Speaker, I have two guests I'd like to introduce. If we just hold our applause while they both stand up. One is my wife, Ethel Sanders, and the other one is a constituent of Representative Moses, if I can say that, but I don't think he knows he's here. He's Roy White from Igigik. If they'll stand up, please.
Representative Williams.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've been trying to get this gentleman into the Taylor Gallery for some time now. He's a constituent of mine and also a staffer, Kyle Johansson from Ketchikan.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have some guests from Tesoro who are down visiting with the legislature and working on some of their agenda, most notably a royalty contract that will have to go before the legislature for approval, and I'm hopeful that you all will agree that it is in the state's best interest. I certainly do. From Tesoro, the president and CEO, Galen Simmons. Mark Necessary, who is the plant manager in Nikiski. Bernie Smith, who's the legislative liaison, who most of us know, the government relations person. And also Tom Reardon, Lowell Gadula, and Rod Kaysen, and they're all down. We'll be visiting with most of you.
Do we have further guests for introduction? This takes us down to messages. Do we have messages from the governor?
Messages dated March 6th stating the governor has read the following resolution and is transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. SCSCS for House CR1, State Affairs Amended Senate creating the Long Range Financial Planning Commission, Legislative Resolve number 6. And House, he read House Concurrent Resolution number 11, designated March 1995 as Sobriety Awareness Month, commonly referred to as SAM, Legislative Resolve number 8. The governor signed the following resolution, CS for House Joint Resolution number 7, ONG amended, supporting the lifting of the ban on the export of Alaska North Slope crude oil, requesting the President of the United States to present to the United States Congress a recommendation that it is both in the national interest to lift the ban on the export of Alaska North Slope crude oil and discriminatory to the state to maintain the ban and endorsing passage of H.R. 70 and F-70 companion federal legislation to remove restraints on the export of that oil. Legislative Resolve number 5. I have no further messages from the governor, Madam Speaker.
Do we have messages from the other body?
A message dated March 7th stating the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendment to CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 8 rules, namely CS for Senate Concurrent Resolution number 8 rules amended House approving the revised open meeting guidelines proposed by the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendment. In the event the House does not recede, the President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House: Senator Rieger, Chair, Senator Frank, and Senator Donnelly. The Senate has passed Senate Bill number 3, an act relating to antitrust exemption for persons engaged in the fishing industry, and has transmitted it for consideration.
We'll refer that to House Special Committees on Fish, Resources, and Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
Do we have communications?
We received from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation the Oil and Hazardous Substance Release Prevention and Response Fund annual report for fiscal year 1994. I have no further communications.
Mr. Minority Leader, brief at ease. Madam Clerk.
Reports to standing committees. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 44, Gaming Proceeds Defined Charitable Organizations, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 44, Judiciary, with the new title, recommending DuPass, Porter, Green, Bundy, Toohey, Veazey. No recommendation, B. Davis. The report was signed by Porter, Chairman. HB 44 as a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 59, Raffle or Auction of Big Game Permits, attached a fiscal note recommending DuPass, James Porter, Green, Willis, and Ogan. No recommendation, Ivan and Robinson. The report was signed by James, Chairman. HB 59 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 146, Sled Dog Race Classic, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 146, LNC, with the new title, recommending DuPass, Porter. No recommendation, Cott, Sanders, Massick, Kabina, Elton, and Rokeberg. The report was signed by Cott, Chairman. HB 146 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 158, Civil Liability, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 158, Judiciary, with the same title, attached to fiscal note and 3-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass, Veazey, Green, Toohey, and Bundy. Do not pass, Finkelstein and B. Davis. The report was signed by Porter, Chairman. House Bill 158 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 180, Liquor Licenses for Resort and Lodges, recommending DuPass, Veazey, and Cott. No recommendation, Elton, Osterman, and Ivan. The report was signed by Ivan and Osterman, co-chairs. House Bill 180 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 182, Delegation of Duties to Dental Assistants, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 182, HESS, with the same title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass G. Davis and Toohey. No recommendation, Roachberg, Bundy, Robinson, and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. House Bill 182 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 195, Repeal Milk Marketing Laws, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 195, Resources, with the new title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Williams, Osterman, Cott, Barnes, and Green. No recommendation, Davies. The report was signed by Green, co-chair. House Bill 195 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 215, Grounds for Suspension of Students, attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Roachberg, G. Davis, Bundy, Toohey, Veazey, and Robinson. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. House Bill 215 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 220, Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 220, Labor and Commerce, attached to fiscal note, recommending do pass Cott, Elton, Roachberg, Sanders, and Porter. The report was signed by Cott Chairman. HB 220 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 47, effective date failed, APUC extension and regulatory cost charge, attached to fiscal note, recommending do pass Hanley, Mulder, Kelly, Purnell, Terrio, Coring, and Foster. No recommendation, Martin and Grusendorf, Amend, Navarre, and Brown. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. SB 47 effective date failed is on today's calendar. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Are there citations or resolutions today for introduction?
Citation honoring Wally Wallace by Representative Ivan and Senator Hoffman. Honoring Christina Huss by Representatives Navarre, Phillips, G. Davis, and Senator Salo. Honoring Key Bank of Alaska by Representative Finkelstein. Honoring National Bank of Alaska by Representative Finkelstein. Honoring the Kenai Peninsula Community Care Center by Representatives Navarre, Phillips, G. Davis, Senator Salo, and Torgerson. Honoring UNICAL's sponsorship of Caring for the Kenai, an environmental awareness program by Representatives Navarre, Phillips, G. Davis, Senator Salo. Honoring the 1995 Nikiski girls basketball team by Representatives Navarre, Phillips, G. Davis, and Senator Salo. Honoring Governor Walter J. Hickel by Senator Lehman and Representative Martin. Honoring Alaska Winter Special Olympics by Senator Hoffman. Honoring Alaska Summer Special Olympics by Senator Hoffman. In Memoriam Betsy Staley by Representatives Navarre, G. Davis, and Phillips, and Senator Salo. In Memoriam Bishop Michael Kinney, 1937 through 1995, by Senators Duncan, Kelly, Zaroff, Representatives Elton, Robinson, Green, and Martin. House Joint Resolution Number 34 by Representative Sanders, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the duration of a regular session.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
House Joint Resolution Number 35 by Representative Roachberg, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the duration of a regular session.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Do we have bills today for introduction?
House Bill 238. By the House Labor and Commerce Committee by request, entitled an act excluding certain direct sellers of consumer products from coverage under the state unemployment compensation laws.
State Affairs, Labor and Commerce.
Did you skip 195?
House Bill 239 by Representative Nicolai, entitled an act declaring the dragonfly as the official state insect.
State Affairs.
House Bill 240 by the House Finance Committee, entitled an act relating to endowments of and donations to the University of Alaska and to the University of Alaska Endowment Trust Fund and providing for an effective date.
S Committee and Finance.
House Bill 241 by Representative Bundy, entitled an act relating to the use of a candidate's campaign account.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 242 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to the Establishment, Modification, and Enforcement of Support Orders and the Determination of Parentage in Situations Involving More Than One State, amending Alaska Rule of Administration 9, amending Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure 79 and 82, and providing for an effective date. Two fiscal notes, 2-0 fiscal notes, and a letter were attached.
House, Hess Committee, Judiciary Committee, and Finance.
House Bill 243 by the House Labor and Commerce Committee entitled An Act Relating to Licensure of Landscape Architects.
State Affairs, Labor and Commerce.
House Bill 244 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to Administrative Establishment of Paternity and Establishing Paternity by Affidavit Relating to Child Support Enforcement and Providing for an Effective Date. Two fiscal notes, 2-0 fiscal notes, and a letter were attached.
Hess Committee, Judiciary Committee, and Finance.
House Bill 245 by Representative Cott entitled An Act Relating to Fetal Homicide and Assaults on Fetuses.
Hess Committee, Judiciary, and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 107 by Representative Grusendorf entitled An Act Relating to Restrictions Attached to Certain Commercial Fisheries Limited Entry Permits. The House Special Committee on Fisheries considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 107 Fish with the same title, attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass, Elton, no recommendation, G. Davis, Ogun, Moses, and Osterman. The report was signed by Osterman. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 107 Fish with the same title, recommending do pass, Davies, McLean, Green, Williams, Ogun, no recommendation, Nikolai, and Osterman. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. I have one committee substitute on my desk.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Fish Committee substitute for House Bill 107 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
House, please stand at ease, Mr. Majority Leader. Brief at ease. Let's come back to order. Before we took in at ease, the majority leader had made a motion to adopt the Special Committee on Fish Committee substitute for House Bill 107. Is there objection? Without objection, then we will adopt the Fish Committee substitute. Madam Clerk.
Amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 107 Fish be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, committee substitute House Bill 107 Fish is in front of us in third reading. We're under debate. Representative, clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 107 Fish by the House Special Committee on Fisheries entitled An Act Relating to Restrictions Attached to Certain Commercial Fisheries Limited Entry Permits.
We're under debate. Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. By some of the comments I have heard on the floor today, I guess I have some explaining to do. About 3 years ago, Madam Speaker, the legislative body passed a tool for the Limited Entry Commission that was called a moratorium, or the ability of the Limited Entry Commission to create a moratorium so they can study a problem area, in particular to the biomass or to the sustained yield of the particular species that we're concerned about. So when they got that tool about 3 years ago, they implemented it on the Dungeness crab in southeast Alaska because there was some problems and concern about the industrial viability of the stock as well as the biological viability of being able to come back, and concerned about the number of pots with the open fisheries that when Dungeness crab or any crab are lifted up and down too many times in a season, in particular if they're female and not those that are going to market, they have a tendency not to want to raise a family after that. Plus, there's also the problem with handling mortality with doing this. After a series of hearings throughout southeast Alaska, it came to the conclusion that something had to be done, and it has to be done this year because the moratorium then runs out in January of next year, meaning that it is wide open. The conclusion is that to protect the stock and to protect the industry, that there has to be some sort of limited entry program developed by the Limited Entry Commission to protect the stock. And this is exactly what this piece of legislation does. It doesn't necessarily tell the commission how the plan is to work. It just authorizes them to do so. And it's important from that perspective that in order to have a viable crab industry in Southeast for the Dungeness crab, that this piece of legislation be passed so that Limited Entry can do something. And please note that it does not affect the decision of the Board of Fisheries. They still have the ability to determine the pot numbers and the length of season, things of that nature. This is just to regulate the number of people that are into that fisheries, and we'd be glad to answer any questions, should there be any.
Further debate? Representative Covina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to go on record as being able to, for my first pro-family vote of this year. So.
Further debate? Representative Terrio.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to be voting against the bill today, and I just wanted to give a brief explanation why. I actually wish that the bill would have come through the committee that I sit on, so I could have thought about it a little bit more and maybe work something out with the prime sponsor. I have never been a big fan of giving a person a right to harvest or use a collective resource and attaching a large, giving them the right in such a way that a large monetary value becomes attached to it. I've never liked the guiding areas, the rights that we've granted on those. I've never liked the limited entry permits and the value that's established on that piece of paper. It seems to me that if a person is grandfathered in because of their past history of fishing, and we give them the right to continue that activity, that's fine, but I don't think that it should extend past that individual. When that person comes to the end of their working career and wants to stop fishing or harvesting crabs or whatever, I think that right should revert back to the state. And there might have to be some kind of a lottery or something to dole that right out to a new person. I certainly understand the need for limiting the number of people that are participating in the harvesting of the resource. If you have a limited entry permit or now this permit that's proposed by this bill, I understand that there's a lot of investment in the crab pots, the fishing boats, those things, and that when you determine to get out of that business, the value in that equipment, you can sell and recoup that value. But I don't think that we should allow the person to recoup the value of the permit itself. The right to harvest our collective resources, I don't think should be bought and sold by individuals. It should be doled out by the state. And for that reason, I'll be voting against the bill.
Further debate? Mr. Minority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of the bill. First of all, this bill isn't creating limited entry. We have limited entry already. And that was something that was approved by the voters of the state. So that was more of a philosophical statement than anything. I think that that probably the biggest reason, and I've got a lot of mixed feelings about limited entry too, many feelings for the same reason the member from North Pole talked about. There's a lot of people that get excluded from the only thing they know, certainly something that has been in families for a long time. But the real reason, the underlying reason that we have to have limited entry, whether I like it or not, is for the protection of the resource, most importantly. And when it comes to crab fisheries and other types of fisheries throughout the state that have been overfished in the past and have potential to be wiped out if there's still open-ended seasons on them, that's a policy call that may not be politically one that we all feel real great about, but certainly one that we must do in order to protect the resource. And I think that the sponsor has looked at that very closely and worked with the Entry Commission and other user groups and so forth to try to define the best way to protect the resource, and that should always be the first and foremost in any of our minds as public policymakers. I would encourage members to vote yes.
Further debate? Representative Osterman?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I also rise in support of the bill. Having lived through the king crab industry and seeing the limits going from 75 pots to unlimited, and then very shortly thereafter seeing no king crab left, I do believe that that we do need some type of regulations and laws that help protect the resource. Well, I think one of the worst things that ever happened to us in reality, though, is the fact that we ended up with limited entry on our salmon industry. The fact is that it's here. We do have limited entry. And at this point in time, I think that the Dungeness craft fisheries does need some protection, and I do support the bill.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 107, Fish? Would members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Willis. Changing votes? Representative Masick. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
35 yeas, 5 nays.
And so committee substitute for House Bill 107, Fish, has passed the House. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Can we revert back to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we are under introduction of guests.
I'd like to introduce a friend of mine in the Paratovich Gallery, who is a constituent of the members from Juneau. Frank Holman was a longtime aide to Senator Sturgalewski for many years until her retirement and his appointment to the Limited Entry Commission. He's been serving as a Limited Entry Commissioner for the last 3 years, and one of my ties to him is that he's my godfather, and I'd like to welcome Frank Holman to the body.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Also in the Paratovich Gallery, I would like to introduce two constituents from District 10, Sandro and Susan Mignocchi.
Further guests, Representative Navarre.
Speaker, in the Taylor Gallery, a friend of mine and an aide to Senator Kelly, who I'd like him to carry back the message that we were hoping for Havanas, Josh Fink.
Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and I'm not sure who these constituents are, but they're friends of mine, Al Pig from Fairbanks and Tyler Conkle from Delta Junction, and they're in the Paratovich Gallery. Please help me welcome them here.
Representative Sanders.
Madam Speaker, back here in the Taylor Gallery, now we, my wife has been joined by my aide, who I've never introduced on the floor here before. I'd like to introduce Noel Lowell.
Further guests for introduction. This brings us back down to the daily order of business. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 47, effective date failed, by Senator Kelly, entitled an act relating to the extent to which the Alaska Public Utilities Commission may exercise its power when regulating utilities, establishing a regulatory cost charge on public utilities and pipeline carriers relating to the allocation of costs and hearings before the Alaska Public Utilities Commission relating to the method by which utilities are exempted from and made subject to regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission relating to the monetary threshold for the regulation of certain kinds of utilities by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, extending the Alaska Public Utilities Commission relating to staggered terms for members of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. The Finance Committee considered the bill, attached a fiscal note, recommending Dupas, Hanley, Mulder, Kelly, Parnell, Terrio, Coring, and Foster. No recommendation, Martin and Grusendorf. Amend, Navarre, and Brown. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. I have amendments on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Madam Clerk, would you read amendment number one, please?
Amendment number one by Representative Brown, beginning page 5, line 24 through 26.
Representative Hanley, brief at ease. Amendment number one, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Before I move Amendment Number 1 on this whole subject, I'd like to disclose a potential conflict of interest. My spouse, Mark Foster, is currently under contract to a telephone company that would be affected by this bill, Anchorage Telephone Utility. And I'll move Amendment Number 1.
Would you move your excuse so we can object to that, too, please?
Move my what?
Your conflict.
Oh, and I ask not to vote on these amendments in this bill.
Yes, objection.
There is objection, Representative Brown, and you will be voting.
We have another conflict, I think.
Representative Hanley.
Yes, Madam Speaker, I'd like to disclose and ask not to vote, as my mother is a member of the commission.
Objection. There is objection. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to just clarify, it's clear that everybody in this room has a conflict when it comes to dealing with utilities, so I'd like to object to any member being accused from voting.
All members shall vote. Representative Brown, you have the floor on the amendment, and it has been objected to.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there are a number of things going on in this bill, and this amendment addresses trying to clean up what I think was probably an oversight in the drafting, and it would delete the language that's on page 5, lines 24 through 26, relating to how garbage utilities are able to come under regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. And again, Section 7 of the bill only affects the refuse or the garbage utilities. Now, there are two things that happen here in Section 7 of the bill. The first one will be addressed in a later amendment, and that deals with at what threshold does a garbage utility become regulated or not. This amendment goes to the issue of how regulation occurs. And currently, in the law, there's a standard that 25% of the subscribers or subscribers representing 25% of the gross revenue petition for regulation. So they go around and they get 25% of the people's name on a petition, and that's what does it. Now, throughout all the sectors of the utilities, we're changing that process in this bill. So that instead of a 25% petition, we're going to have a lower number that will ask for an election, and then a majority of those voting will decide the question. And we're going to make it reciprocal so that that process is used both to get in and to get out of regulation. Therefore, the question comes up, since we are throughout the bill changing to the smaller threshold to request an election, why are we keeping in this provision about the gross revenue of the utilities, the 25% of gross revenue? Why should there be an exception just for big garbage utilities to be able to override what the democratic process has established? In other words, if a majority of the subscribers of a garbage utility voted not to be regulated, 25% of the gross revenue subscribers could come in and immediately overturn the results of that. And that doesn't seem like a good outcome. When we discussed this bill briefly in committee, there was not an explanation from the bill's sponsor about the necessity of keeping this in there. And I really think that it was probably just a result of the auditor said, let's go to this new process. And then when the drafter looked at this, no specific mention was made about what to do with the gross revenue part, and therefore they put in this sentence. But it really is unnecessary and could interfere with a democratically conducted election process. And I would recommend that the body support Amendment Number 1 and that we clean this up.
Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate the comments of the previous speaker. Certainly, this entire amendment, or this entire section that this area is amending, is basically the result of a great deal of effort from a number of people. In my opinion, this particular section does not cloud up the issue. We are dealing specifically with a subsection. It's also, in my opinion, an issue dealing with fairness and equity. If subscribers or a subscriber represents 25% of the gross revenue of a utility, in this particular case, waste or garbage, then they should have a greater say in how that utility is regulated. This is not uncommon in the way it's done in the corporate sector. We have large corporations, and if you're a large stockholder, you have a larger say. And that's what it all boils down to, in my estimation. So I'm going to object to Amendment Number 1.
Further debate on Amendment Number 1. Representative Martin?
Yes, Madam Speaker, in the House Finance Committee, this is the only thing I did support because I do think it's redundant. And I asked the specialist on the bill, why are we repeating the same thing that's already in it? And there's no real clear language except, well, for some reason someone thought it needed to be said again, same thing. And that's what worries me. If it's not wrong, if there's no concern about what's already in there, why rewrite it? A lot of us have been surprised over the year when we voted for something and we thought it said this or it didn't need correcting in the first place, and then 2 years down the line we found out, well, you guys voted for that. And I guess the greatest example of that would be one time they were trying to amortize the Alaska Hospital when it belonged to a certain union, and someone slipped a word in there. We always pay 25% of constructions of hospitals for local communities. Well, someone unbeknown to anyone else slipped a word in there, construction and financing. And therefore, we paid dearly for that hospital up in Anchorage for the construction of it because they amortized the financing of it. But we didn't know until it was too late. Same way I'm asking people here, I admit I'm a slow learner, but if they would teach me something, if they would give me some information, why are we changing it and rewording what's already in there except they said, well, it needs it?
The House, please stand at ease. Representative Martin. Further debate on Amendment Number 1. Okay. Representative Brown, wrap up.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. Responding to the gentleman from Eagle River, I think it is a matter of fairness and equity, and I think all the subscribers ought to have an equal vote in this matter, and that's the same structure we have for all the other utilities. I don't agree that it makes sense that a big customer should have a bigger say. If that were going to be our policy throughout, maybe so, but it's not. We just have this one little exception, and I guess what doesn't really make sense about this.
The House, please come back to order. Representative Hanley, Representative Barnes, Representative Brown has the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It's just to set up conflicting processes where one could overturn the other, and it just really isn't needed. I think the process, the new process that's being proposed to be substituted is good and will serve us well, and I believe we should adopt Amendment Number 1.
Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1? Will all members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Ogun? Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
21 yeas, 18 nays.
Amendment Number 1 is passed. We're at ease. There will be a majority caucus. Mr. Sergeant at Arms, do we have a quorum present? We'll stand at ease. Come to order, please. We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Does the clerk have any other amendments on her desk?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Amendment number 2 by Representative Brown, beginning page 5, line 4.
Representative Brown?
House. This is a complicated amendment, and I believe it would be beneficial if all the members could hear the explanation, so if we could stand at ease until the people get here.
There's a call on the House. We will stand at ease as the members come in. House, please come back to order. The call has been lifted. We're on amendment number 2. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 2.
There is objection. Representative Brown.
Let me find my paper to explain it. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I'd urge the body give serious consideration to this amendment number 2. And if I could call your attention to some material that I distributed with it, that is a chart, a horizontal chart, that says Rep. K. Brown in the top left corner, and then attached to that are some of the pages from the Public Utilities Commission's annual report that give the detail necessary to understand who is affected by this bill and by this amendment. Madam Speaker, this amendment, I believe, is philosophically in tune with this body. In fact, I'll be surprised if every member on this floor doesn't support this amendment, because I think it is a very positive amendment that exactly does what I've heard people say they want to do, and that's lessen the regulatory burden when it's not necessary. What we're talking about here, Madam Speaker, are a small mom-and-pop utilities who receive very little service from the PUC presently, and this amendment would put more of them into categories where the voters can exercise their rights to be deregulated, not to be subject to regulation. And, Madam Speaker, I think that this scheme in general will be a very positive one, because with really small utilities where there's only a few people involved or at most a few hundred, getting that 10% of them together to petition should be a very doable thing. And if there is a problem, that group would be able to petition to become regulated. So amendment number 2 basically takes the process and the structure of the existing law and goes a little bit farther than this bill goes in allowing deregulation to occur and allowing that voter choice to be exercised. Madam Speaker, the rates that are being amended in the bill and in the amendment, the threshold numbers, had not been adjusted since 1980. So the bill does a good thing by adjusting them. It just doesn't go far enough. I do apologize to the body for bringing this fairly complex matter here on the floor. But, Madam Speaker, one of the reasons that I find it necessary to do this today is that this provision, or the provisions that are affected by this amendment number 2, were not part of the House bill. So the consideration that went on in our committees about the other provisions of the bill, these sections, which is basically on page 5 of the bill, sections 4 through 8, did not get very much scrutiny in our body. In fact, yesterday in the hearing, the witnesses who were available were not able to answer the question, who is affected by this bill? And then subsequently, we did get the Utilities Commission reports, and now we can tell who is affected. Under the bill, without the amendment, 9 utilities are affected. In one category, garbage, there's only 1 entity affected. And, you know, I don't know why we're passing something like that to only affect 1 entity. It seems like going a little bit farther would be a good idea and catching more under the limit and allowing them to be deregulated. But under the bill, there would be 8 total telephones and electric, 3 telephones and 5 electrics, where the gross revenue limit would presume them regulated unless they petitioned to be unregulated. Maybe I could just stop here for a moment and explain the basic structure in our law, which is depicted in this chart. And the columns on the left, presumed unregulated unless subscribers petition for election, that means what it says. The presumption is they're not regulated unless there's a problem, and then they can go through this process to get regulation. In the next category, we have the opposite of that. They're presumed regulated unless the subscribers petition not to be regulated. So the effect of my amendment would be to move more utilities into both categories, and I believe this would be a reasonable and positive change to make. Under my amendment, we would be capturing an additional 20 utilities, and in just a moment I'll go through who exactly those are. For a total of then, if we adopted this amendment, there'd be 29 utilities that would have the option to exercise as voters to determine whether they did or did not want to be regulated. And just briefly, Madam Speaker, this amendment would add in the electric utility category, bringing them under the presumed regulation would be ENIAC, Wichita, which serves Fort Yukon, I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation, McGrath and Tananaw, and then all the smaller ones that have gross revenues under 100,000, under 500,000, excuse me, would be moved under my amendment to the presumption that they are not regulated. That would be Bettles, Far North, Serving Central, Gustavus, Manly, Middle Kuskokwim, communities here affected are Stony River, Red Devil, and Sleepmute, Nakiak, Northway, Pelican, and Teller. In the refuse category, this is where, under the bill, we're only catching one utility. That would be Anderson, which serves Nome. We'd pick up two more, Drake's serving North Pole, and Jason serving Seward. In the telecommunications area, the bill proposes no change in the threshold regulation of 50,000. My amendment would pick up three more there, and those being, Whittier, Tananaw, Ruby, and excuse me just a moment, Madam Speaker. In the water utilities, we're picking up a couple more, Chugiak, Eagle River, Norfolk, and also Aklutna. Sewer doesn't change anybody as far as I could tell. And it should be noted, Madam Speaker, these are fluid numbers because it's my understanding from speaking to the legislative auditor that these particular numbers were picked back in 1991 by looking at the commission's annual reports, and there has been some growth upward in the revenues since that time. I asked the auditor his opinion as to whether this proposal in my amendment makes sense. He felt that it did make sense to go a little bit farther to allow for growth and to pick up a few more utilities, and he told me that he did support that and thought that that made sense to do that. I believe that I've covered all the points I wanted to make on it. I guess the other thing about this that I think would be a very positive change, Madam Speaker, would just to be to simplify it, because when I started inquiring how did we get these different levels for the different utilities, why is this one here and that one there, there doesn't seem to be any rationale that anyone can remember. They were established quite a long time ago. And the scheme proposed here in the amendment would just simplify it by having the under 500,000 presumed unregulated for all the categories, and then the presumed regulation being 500,000 to a million gross revenues for all the categories that are presently established in the law. And you can see from looking at the chart that not all utilities are in all categories, although telephones and electrics have both types of option open to them. So, in summary, this amendment will lessen the regulatory burden on small utilities. It will still protect consumer choice when there is a problem, and if regulation is needed, the utility subscribers in that area could so petition and bring that about. So I'd urge your support for Amendment Number 2.
Further debate, Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Surprise. Madam Speaker, I certainly appreciate the comments that my colleague from District 15 made. I think we are heading toward deregulating many things that we possibly can. But, Madam Speaker, what we would have if we adopted this amendment would be a hodgepodge, hocus-pocus spattering of unregulated utilities. She spoke of several of the smaller utilities, and those are true. They would fall within the category. You've got to realize these utilities would automatically be exempted, and there are a number of those utilities that I'm sure want to be regulated. Certainly, that's their opportunity, but what we don't want is to have the APUC bombarded by a number of petitions requesting that they be re-regulated, and that's what we would have here. In addition to that, I think many of these should be regulated as it stands just to ensure that there's not price gouging. I'm not suggesting that anyone would do that out there, but there's always the possibility. And finally, Madam Speaker, I think we've set some thresholds in this bill that are incremental. I don't want to take a head dive into the pool and find out the pool's empty. I think we need to go step by step and take it from an incremental approach. So, Madam Speaker, I'm urging my members here in the body to oppose Amendment Number 2.
Further debate?
Very brief at ease.
Stand at ease. Yes, you do. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Bundy?
Might we revert back up the calendar to introductions of guests?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to ask the body to help welcome my son, Kurt, to Juneau for a couple of days' visit. He's in the Paradovich Gallery.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to introduce a couple friends in the Taylor Gallery. The first one's a lifelong friend of mine. He's the mayor of Kluak, the Honorable Jeff Nickerson, if he'll stand. And with him is Marvin Yoder, the city manager of Kluak, also.
Further guests for introduction? This takes us back under debate on Amendment Number 2. Further debate? Representative Brown.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. I don't agree that this would result in a hodgepodge, hocus-pocus of unregulated utilities. I think this would establish a clear structure. If your gross revenues are less than $500,000, the presumption is you would not be regulated unless 10% of the subscribers or consumers petitioned and an election was held to bring that group under regulation. And then between 500 and a million, the presumption would be that they were regulated but could opt out. I think what we have now is a hodgepodge of different levels for different utilities and a confusing process for the consumers. And I still continue to believe this is sound. I think during the break, people were talking about the effect on the small utilities and do they want to be deregulated. I think that you need to keep in mind that these are small to the point of they're truly mom-and-pop operations. And being so far from the commission itself and so far from Anchorage, I'm told that there's very little effective regulation that's done now and that it is a burden for them to have to go through the commission process and that that the situation is small enough and the numbers involved are small enough that people truly will be able to keep track of what their utilities are doing and that the market can function to take care of the consumer protection. So I'm comfortable with this scenario, and I would ask for the body's support.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just, in calling that ease, I tried to discuss with the member behind me proposing this amendment that my concern is that I understand that part of these utilities, I realize there's two different categories offered in this amendment, but part of those utilities in the small areas would automatically become deregulated, which means that they're not, they don't fall under the auspices of the APUC. And while I realize and can appreciate that you small utility companies don't want to be regulated anymore, that it's very burdensome, my concern, first and foremost, is about the consumers, that I look at these regulating abilities by APUC as a way to protect the consumers in these areas. Certainly in small rural communities that I represent, when it's the only show in town, if they're not regulated, then my concern is that in some cases that gives them a blank check to charge whatever they want to charge. And with the cost of living being so much higher in a lot of the rural areas as it is, further having potential, and I don't totally understand this issue, but I think the potential for those rates to go up because they no longer have to go and justify the rates in front of the commission would give me some great concern. And that's the concern I have with this particular amendment. And, you know, if I'm not seeing that accurately, I need to be corrected. Otherwise, I'll vote no.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative McLean.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I do have a question. How would it impact the cooperatives? Because I know that the cooperatives are shareholders of the utilities. So how would it impact this amendment impact the cooperatives?
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The cooperatives that are organized under AS 1025, regardless of the amount of gross revenues, would still be able to use the election process to become deregulated, and there's no change, as far as I can tell, from the bill or from the amendment to that existing authority for cooperatives. So their ability, regardless of the amount of their revenues, to use this election process will still be present.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2? Would members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 28 nays.
And so Amendment Number 2 has failed to pass the House. Would the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 3 by Representative Brown, beginning page 2, line 27.
Representative Brown.
I move Amendment Number 3.
There is objection. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment would restore the provisions affecting the regulatory cost charge to the status quo, to what it is right now, where the tax rate is 0.61%. In the bill, it is raised. The tax rate is raised to 0.8% because of the provision in the bill that shifts costs away from the electric utilities and puts that burden on the other utility sectors. And, Madam Speaker, the rationale for making this shift that required bumping up the tax rate is the rationale supporting that is really weak, I believe. It goes back to an auditor's evaluation of the regulatory cost charge and how it was being administered by the commission. The auditor made some rough cut numbers based on unofficial information and came out with a conclusion that led the electric utilities to believe that they were paying more than their share. Subsequently, I think more knowledge and more information indicates that that's not really a fair assessment, that the electric utilities do in fact take up a substantial amount of the commission's time. The executive director of the commission testified before us in the finance committee about this and indicated he did not believe that the electric utilities were overpaying. It's a pretty small amount of money that we're talking about, Madam Speaker. But one thing you should keep in mind is we're going to be raising taxes on the oil industry. We're going to be putting a higher tax on them, which they don't pass through to consumers. And why do we want to do that? I guess I don't see the rationale for it, or don't believe that the rationale is sound. I think it would be better to treat everybody the same and not set up a thing that's uneven, that'll give them something else to argue about, something else that's got to be adjusted. And it's just defeating the purpose of the simplicity, which was what the commission argued in response to the auditor, is we just want a simple system. Gross revenues are a good way to apportion this charge. The auditor did not recommend that we go into the statute in this manner and make this shift based on this one-time rough cut. The auditor said, PUC, you ought to establish a timekeeping system and then annually adjust it based on the annual workload. The commission came back and said, that's too complicated, we don't think it's worth it, and argued for a simple approach. So what this amendment would do would be to go back to the straightforward approach that we have presently, assessing the utility sectors on the basis of their revenues, and would not require this tax increase in order to accomplish this special benefit for the electric utilities.
Further debate? Representative Cott.
I'm going to oppose the amendment. As what was indicated earlier, much of that is true. We had this bill in House Labor and Commerce several weeks ago, and we addressed this particular issue, and members of the commission felt very comfortable with it. They had developed a consensus among themselves and among other user groups. There seemed to have been some question as to whether or not the electric utilities that were covered under this provision were actually getting lesser amounts of service from the commission, and that was the reason for putting this into the statute. Beyond that, I think we have to look at it from a bureaucratic standpoint. Oftentimes, bureaucrats, they underestimate their budget. And in this particular provision, this statute that we're proposing here, there is a provision there that says that the APUC should not charge any more than is necessary to continue its operations. So they're not going to reach the cap. It's there as an upper cap, I think, as a gauge. So, Madam Speaker, I think it's only responsible in this particular case that we err on the side of liberalism. Thank you.
Representative Roekberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In a perfect world, I might support this amendment, but it really doesn't go quite far enough if the maker of the amendment wanted to accomplish what she was setting out to do, because what she's setting out to do here is correct something that I find somewhat disturbing. That is to say that we're going to shift the tax burden from certain taxpayers in the state to other taxpayers, and I take exception to that. For example, the people in my district will experience a higher RCC payment than the people in other districts. And therefore, in order to correct that wrong, Section 2, sub C, subsection 3 should also be deleted. So I'm going to vote against this amendment. However, I'll put everybody on notice here that I'm going to introduce a bill to correct this later. Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Brown?
Well, I would certainly accept a friendly amendment to do whatever is necessary to, because I believe the prior speaker and I are in agreement on where we want to get with this, but I just ask you to consider that we do have to reauthorize the regulatory cost charge, so we can't just delete Section 2 out of the bill. We just need to reauthorize it at the same rate that it was. We don't need to raise it in order to make some utilities pay more so that electrics can pay less. The record just doesn't support that there's a basis for doing that. At best, there's conflicting information, and we should know that the work of the commission varies depending on what controversy is before them that year or that month, and there's just not the basis, I think, to support writing into the statute for all time this shift. But my amendment does take that out, and it's the language at page 3, lines 12 through 14, is being deleted, and that is the objectionable part. And so I believe that my amendment does accomplish what the prior speaker wants to, and I'd sure like to have his vote.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm trying to find the record of committee minutes from Labor and Commerce on this bill. If this bill has been to Labor and Commerce, I don't find the minutes of it in here.
The House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Covina. Further debate on amendment number 3. Representative Brown.
I was just going to say, for the record, you don't find any minutes from that particular committee because this bill didn't go there. It only went to one committee, and unfortunately, it was brought to the floor in such a rapid manner, you don't see the record of our committee's deliberations either. And that's another reason that we're having to have this debate here on the floor.
Further debate, amendment number 3. You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 3? Members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
14 yeas, 26 nays.
So amendment number 3 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read the next amendment? Stand at ease. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess until 6 o'clock p.m.
We are in recess until 6 p.m. Would the House please come back to order? Would the members in the lounge please present yourself into the chambers? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I place a call on the House.
There is a call placed on the House. Would all members please return to the chambers? Order, the call has been lifted. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next amendment on your desk?
Amendment number 4 by Representative Brown, beginning page 1, line 11, through page 2, line 23.
Representative Brown?
Amendment 4.
There is objection. Representative Brown?
Thank you. Madam Speaker, amendment number 4 would delete section 1 from the bill and also another section near the back that is in combination with section number 1. The bill proposes to make some changes in the powers of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. The language, as I read it, is not terribly different in terms of its scope. In spite of what's been stated by some of the proponents of this measure, I don't think it limits the commission to only dealing with those matters that the legislature has expressly approved, because it says right there on line 2, or in line 1 and line 2, or reasonably implied. So how different is that really from the language that's being deleted, and the powers of the commission shall be liberally construed to accomplish its stated purposes? Why are we finding it necessary to make this change, Madam Speaker? And the testimony that was presented in the Finance Committee indicated that it's really more of a theoretical problem than a real problem. At one point in the past, some of the commissioners who I believe are no longer even on the commission had attempted to use the liberally construed language in a manner that some of the proponents of the change in Section 1 didn't agree with, and they want to preclude the commission from extending its powers inappropriately. And I just submit, I don't think the basis is there to assume that this change is necessary or that the commission's ever actually done this. And there's good reasons not to change it, Madam Speaker, because it is going to create some confusion and some litigation as the players who are affected sort out what this means. The commission itself said in its fiscal note, and I'd like to read one sentence from the fiscal note that was submitted by the commission. In addition, the contractual line includes $60,700 for increased RSA with the Department of Law to handle legal analysis and increased litigation concerning the new powers and duties language in Section 1 of the bill. So, in summary, this isn't really necessary and would be better not to change it. The sponsor states in his sectional analysis that the legislature should make such policy calls and not the commission. I'd submit that there's a lot happening in the field of utility regulation, particularly in telecommunications. I don't think it's reasonable to expect that the legislature can micromanage it to that degree that the sponsors here who want to limit it only to legislative direct authorization would want to see. And I guess in summary, it would be best to adopt Amendment Number 4 and not have this change burden our commission with arguments over what the new and different language means.
Further debate on Amendment Number 4, Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to oppose Amendment Number 4. By deleting Section 1, it leaves the existing law intact that states that the powers of the commission shall be liberally construed. I think that language imposes little, perhaps very little, constraint on the board, on the commission. And in fact, it may not even, the language virtually invites the board to, in fact, as what was previously mentioned, to formulate policy. I think by providing so much legislative discretion to the board, it blurs the distinction between executive and legislative authority. So, Madam Speaker, I'm going to oppose Amendment Number 4.
Further debate on Amendment Number 4? Are you ready for the question? Mr. Minority Leader?
Just a question. Are we under a call?
No.
Okay.
You ready for the question? But the question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 4? Would all members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 26 nays.
And so Amendment Number 4 fails to pass the House. The clerk please read the next.
It is my intention not to offer Amendment Number 5, so if the clerk would not read it.
Amendment Number 5 is withdrawn. Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
Yes, Madam Speaker. Amendment Number 6 by Representative Davies, beginning page 1, line 12. Delete or insert and.
Representative Davies.
Madam Speaker, I move Amendment Number 6.
There is objection. Representative Davies.
Madam Speaker, this is just a minor housekeeping detail, but it seems that if we're talking about, I have to find the page here now. If we're talking about asking them to do all things necessary or proper, it seems that we certainly wouldn't want to be asking them to do something that we might deem necessary but not proper, or something that was proper but not necessary. So, Madam Speaker, it seems to me that the most appropriate thing would be to ask them to do things that are both necessary and proper. So it's just a minor quibble with the drafter, and I think this would be a better language for the bill. I view it as a friendly amendment.
Debate, Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It is a very simplistic amendment. To be honest, I think it's nothing more than a play on semantics. The commission right now, under the statute, may do things that are necessary or proper to carry out its job. If it were deemed to be necessary, it would probably be proper. and if it were proper, it's probably necessary. So, Madam Speaker, I don't really think there's a need to make this minute change to the proposed piece of legislation.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 6? All members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative McLean? Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 25 nays.
And so Amendment Number 6 fails to pass the House. Representative Cabina?
Could I have a brief at ease?
Very brief at ease. House, come back to order. There are no further amendments. The clerk has no further amendments. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 47, effective date failed, amended in the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. The bill will be held in third reading for tomorrow's calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
CS for House Bill 137, Finance, by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Making Supplemental Appropriations for the Expenses of State Government, Amending Operating Appropriations, Making an Appropriation to the Disaster Relief Fund, and providing for an effective date.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd ask that we might return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Without objection, we're back in second reading. Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move the amendment.
Number?
21.
Amendment number 21 has been moved. Without objection. Representative Cabina.
Just a point of clarification. Is he asking unanimous consent, or I believe he just moved the amendment, and therefore the amendment's under debate.
No. If there's no objection, it is adopted.
Well.
Okay. There's objection. Representative Mulder.
Speaker. I was not trying to confuse anyone, just do the proper procedure. If members will note, it's a very simple amendment. What it does is it seeks to restore an additional $609,000 into the Department of Corrections budget. Madam Speaker, when the subcommittee went through the process, we heard hours of testimony related to the department and their needs and their request for additional supplementals. And we made decisions, Madam Speaker, based upon the best information we had at that time. In subsequent hearings, however, Madam Speaker, the issues of institutions came back to us again, and the department provided us with new information that which we did not have during the first hearing. And basically that information was the fact that it was our belief that we had funded the institutions to the level of the FY95 governor's requested amount. That information was in error. They were shorted $609,000, and it was the policy of the subcommittee to fund them at the FY95 governor's amount, and that's why you see the amendment before you, Madam Speaker, and I would request the support of the body.
Further debate, Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to speak in favor of the amendment and also thank the chairman of the subcommittee and the colleagues that supported it for going to bat. I actually was hoping that they would hit the long ball, but I'm happy with the double. I guess I'll call it a double and hope that this means we get another turn at the plate somewhere down the line. I also want to thank the chair of subcommittee from last year, who I spoke with today about this subject, and I know she has some strong feelings on it. It's difficult to determine at what level of supplemental you need, because it's very hard to determine what management decisions weren't implemented that should have been over the course of the first 8 months of this fiscal year. And so this money will help the department to, I hope, a little manage, it'll help them a little bit to manage more responsibly between now and the end of the year. I still think they're going to have significant problems. I'll address those when we get in debate on the bill. But I would urge members to withdraw their objection.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, as a member of the Corrections Finance Subcommittee, I certainly urge members to support this amendment. We spent all day Saturday specifically working on this item, and I'm sure all the subcommittees have racked their brains and tried to initiate the best crisis management they can in their numbers. And I think in the corrections budget, I think everyone in the state has is familiar with the problems that have come about in the corrections department. Over the last couple of years, there's been, I think, four or five commissioners in this department. There's been a lack of direction at the top, and if there's anything that can confuse and get a department to lose its focus, I think it's lack of direction at the top. There's new direction at the top now, and I hope, and I sincerely hope, that this additional amount will give the new commissioner some opportunity to do some planning, give her some time. Instead of day-to-day crisis management, give her some time to give us some alternatives and get the department back in order. Thank you.
For the debate, Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Please, for the sponsor of the bill, I'd like to know where the dollars are going to.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The intention of the amendment, as requested, was going toward institutions. As I outlined, we spent all day Saturday talking about institutions. The department had come in for a request of just over $3 million. They had pared that request down to $2.6 million. But during the course of the debate, we tried to focus on what, in fact, were the policy decisions that were made, and also where, in fact, were the funds spent, and how much, in fact, were funds given to them. And we, as a subcommittee, like I had stated earlier, had made a policy decision that we wanted, because of the court order, because of a situation beyond their control, they were forced to beef up. And as a policy decision, we had decided to fund them at the level that the governor requested. And hence, that was the amount. As we worked back with the department, we had asked them these questions earlier. They thought they gave us a correct answer. It, in fact, wasn't. As I came back around and we worked through those numbers, it was determined that we had shorted them approximately $609,000. And that was the determination of the amount to go to institutions.
Further debate, Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to know how much is going to VPSOs or the contract jails.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. That is another subcomponent. They are currently in public safety and not in corrections.
Representative Martin.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. At the point of information, I was wondering how much of this money is going to be used or is needed for the upcoming negotiated contract with the state employees.
Representative Mulder.
A lot of theoreticals, which I can't answer, but this one I'm pretty certain about the fact that none. Right now, what we're really talking about is if the scenarios that the commissioner has shared with myself and the other subcommittee members, they are in crisis management mode. They're now whittling down a choice between choices of bad alternatives, some of which are not what we would consider to be necessarily good and good public interest. But what this is an olive branch toward the administration saying, listen, we need to work together to resolve these funding problems that we have with corrections. We can no longer afford the spiraling costs. And we're going to try and work with you to get you through this year, But in the long term, we need to focus on bringing our costs down. So no, we don't anticipate that any of these funds will be used for funding any potential future contract.
Further debate on Amendment Number 21. Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I don't want to jeopardize this amendment at all, but I would like to know if any of the funds of this amendment would go towards some of the work programs that they have in the prison system, such as the slaughterhouse. And would that be covered and therefore be able to remain open the rest of the fiscal year?
Representative Mulder.
At this point in time, in my last conversation with the commissioner, it was not her reflection that it would go toward the inmate programs, correctional industries. Certainly, she's going to evaluate them on a case-by-case basis. Many of us have received calls about the Palmer meatpacking plant, and we visited with the commissioner about perhaps privatizing or putting that. The DNR does, we understand, have the capability of turning that facility over to a potential private cooperative or something like that to maintain that facility because it's necessary. And I'm sorry I'm straying, but my understanding now is that none of it right now will go, of this 609, will go toward correctional industries.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the issue of the slaughterhouse, I've had a conversation with the commissioner on that particular point late today, and I believe that it is her intent to try to find the money within that budget component to keep the slaughterhouse open.
Further debate, Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. $609,000 is a lot of money. It'll take about $13,000 to keep that open for the fiscal year, and I think that's I fully expect and request that the commissioner will do that.
Further debate on Amendment Number 21. You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 21? Will all members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
31 yeas, 7 nays.
And so Amendment Number 21 has passed the House. We are under third reading, under debate on committee substitute, House Bill 137, Finance. Representative Robinson, were you seeking the floor?
Yeah, Madam Speaker, I just wanted to revert back up to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Yeah, in the Taylor, I mean, actually it's in the Pratovich Gallery, my Valentine of 18 years is here with us tonight, and it's David Rogers.
Further guests for introduction. We're under debate. Representative Hanley.
Madam Speaker, I do have a title amendment that I'd like to make at this time. I'll briefly explain it and then move it. The amendments made in the Finance Committee included the Butrovich Building and Marine Highway System. They were not included in the title at that time, and they need to be included in the title. And I would, at this time, move the title amendment.
Call is for the amendment, or the title amendment to be adopted. Is there objection? Mr. Minority Leader?
Just for purposes of discussion, Madam Speaker. When I first saw this title amendment, I brought it to the attention of the chair that I was real concerned about the actual wording in here in the first part. If members will look at page 1, line 1, making capital appropriations, having that wording in the title of this bill, essentially what this is doing is sending a vehicle to the other body that we've already passed, which could allow them to send back the whole entire capital budget. And that always concerns me on any bill when we're dealing with the other body. I try to pay close attention to any of the titles that would allow that to happen, but just for members that may have the same concern, I think it's certainly the intent of the finance chair to simply make what we've done in the bill legal by the title. And I believe it's the intention of the leadership not to accept anything back that they may try to do in this particular vehicle. So I just want to point that out that, you know, I have grave concerns about sending that kind of a title over there. It would have been much better to just specifically talk about the Butrovich panels, I think, is what specifically that needs to take care of. But we all need to be real mindful of the potential for these kind of titles. And however, I'm confident that the leadership won't allow that to happen.
Is the objection maintained to the title amendment? The title amendment then is adopted. We're under debate. Representative Hamley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Caught me by surprise. I was waiting for the others. But we've gone through actually a lot of the debate on this. I think the supplemental is important. It funds a lot of needed programs, unanticipated circumstances that occurred, snowfalls, floods around the state, even money in corrections for out-of-state prisoners. We've heard a lot of discussion on most of the contentious points where some individuals feel that there are more needs that should be funded. I think we've been through those during the amendment process. I would say that the money that is in this supplemental is definitely needed, and I would encourage everyone to vote for it for that reason. I would also say that we tried to adopt our policy, which was those items that were unanticipated after we passed the budget last year and our true emergencies that need to be funded are included in this budget, and that's the approach that we took. Policy calls where departments chose to spend above their authorized level, we did not fund. Decisions by the previous governor and even the current governor to increase programs after we had authorized certain levels last year because they felt they're important, not that they aren't important, we also denied those. We felt it's more appropriate to deal with those in the budget process as we're going through it now for next year's budget. So I do think that it represents a good effort to fund those things that are necessary, and I would urge everyone to vote for this particular supplemental.
Further debate? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of rescinding our action and failing to adopt Amendment Number 12.
There is objection.
Speaking to that, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, that amendment to refresh the body's memory would add $330,000 to the Office of Public Advocacy. And, Madam Speaker, I have received some additional material from the department that I think summarizes the real problem in failing to include this money. The only way for this agency to make up this shortfall is for them to defer cases into the next fiscal year. And if I could have the leave of the body to read a couple sentences out of this memo that was written by Mr. McGee. The delay of dozens of serious cases for a period of 1 to 3.5 months will have a serious impact on superior courts throughout the state. It would certainly cause prejudice to the interests of some clients and confound the court's ability to timely schedule important matters. Because OPA's work is concentrated in advocacy for abused and neglected children, court delays in such cases would be especially harmful. Nobody believes that leaving vulnerable children in legal limbo for long periods is anything but damaging to them and their families. So, Madam Speaker, I really think that while it's good we've put some more money back in for corrections, that's badly needed. This money is badly needed, too, and I'd appreciate your accommodation in returning to second reading so we could further debate this issue.
There has been objection to returning to second reading. You ready for the question? The question being, shall we return to second reading for the purpose of rescinding our previous action on not adopting Amendment Number 12? Would all members please proceed to vote? The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
14 yeas, 25 nays.
And so we have failed to return to second for the purpose of rescinding our actions. Representative Brown?
Thank you.
Brief at ease.